Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study. Brother Darby, would you open us up in prayer?
I would just really praise you and thank you, Lord, for the salvation you provided for us on Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for raising him from the dead for our justification and imputing righteousness to us. And Father, just thank you for that we can know that we're going to have, not doubt. Father, we just ask that everything that's said and done in this service would be for your glory. And if there's anybody that hasn't really trusted you as their Savior, we ask that this would be their day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. But we need to be praying for each other. There's a lot of problems, and it's nothing to discuss, but there's a lot of problems that we have. We're the majority of us in here, and I can't speak for everyone because I haven't heard everyone's testimony. But the majority of the people are here are in the body of Christ. But you need to be praying for each individual, specifically for this room. People are in this room because we all got problems somewhere along in the families. We've got lost family members, and we need to be praying for those people. But anyway, let me get over to where I told you to go, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It is verse 3. Paul wrote this book. This is one of his pre-prison epistles. He said, "But if our gospel be hid," it is hid to them that are lost. So this gospel can be hid. It's hid to people that are lost. You know, there's churches everywhere. I've got all over the world, but I'm specifically talking about in America. There's people all over America sitting in church today listening to a preacher of some sort. They're not hearing the gospel. They need to hear the gospel of their salvation. But they're in church. They even may know this. Let me find me a marker. And you don't have to agree with me, but you need to agree with the Bible. That's one thing we need to agree with. What it says, as it says it, where it says it. God said it, that settled it. You know, you want to make your own interpretation, you better be able to prove it by the Scriptures. But see, there's people everywhere that believe that Christ was crucified. C-R-U-C-I-A-R. As many times as I wrote that up there. Buried, this is talking about Jesus. Resurrected from the dead. Now, anybody that believes in Jesus Christ believes this right here. Everybody does. But that right there only will send you to hell in this dispensation that we live in. You will say, "Well, I believe Christ was crucified." Well, I know he was buried because I read about him putting a stone in front of it, that sepulcher. And I know he was resurrected because he himself said so. But that won't get you to heaven. That's going to get you to hell. But this is a building block to the gospel that will get you to heaven for eternal life. Jerry was telling me just a minute ago, and since I mentioned the word dispensation, you know that long old word that nobody's ever heard that's in the Bible? He said that, was it in Pensacola? He was at probably down there off of 9th Avenue.
Off Nine Mile Road.
He was at a Christian bookstore one day this week. And it was about closing time, right? So he was lingering around. There's an old man. Now, I don't know how much older he could have been. Okay, he owned the place. So, Jerry, come on in. The Jerry and him was the only ones in the place. And he was wanting to close. So he calls Jerry up there and says, "I bet you're a dispensationalist."
Really?
Out of the clear blue sky. Jerry said, "Yes, I am." He said, "You're going to hell." So, just because you're a dispensationalist, people are ignorant of God's words. That man had him going to hell because he was a dispensationalist. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from to them that are lost. If you don't see and trust for the forgiveness of sins according to the Scripture, who said this? The Apostle Paul. Most all churches in America are preaching the Apostle Peter as who you follow. But that's not what Romans 11:13 says. Paul says, I am the apostle of the Gentiles, and I magnify my office. I'm not the one that's glamorous any longer. It's the glorious gospel that's glamorous. It's glorious, ain't that right, Rich?
Yes, absolutely.
For your justification. And we'll talk about what this is, but justification. You've got people all over America that actually believe this right here, but have never trusted it for their eternal life. Now, your call, Brother Moore, I think, coined that term as a lost believer. Well, how can that be? You believe it? Yeah, but did you trust it? Did you really trust it? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. I hear people all the time tell me, I believe in God. Well, what about Jesus Christ and what He did for you? What God did for you through Jesus Christ? Well, I just believe in God. You know, the man upstairs. They do that. That kind of stuff. And you've seen that. I know I ain't by myself here. Religion is man-made. Philosophy is a religion. Philosophers. But Christ was crucified. And you can ask someone, say, do you, and tell them the gospel of their salvation is called the gospel of the grace of God. And they'll tell you this, and I'm going to tell you a story about Thursday when I was in Montgomery with my chiropractor friend, person that treats the body. Dave knows him. Maybe about seven of you in here know them and been to him. When you say all sin / sins were paid for, he had an individual, because I really talked to this guy the time I was up there a month ago, because he was telling me, oh yeah, I believe he's saved, but he was telling me that, well yeah, all everybody knows Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected to pay for their sins, to justify. Everybody knows that. But he found out different earlier in this week. So he thanked me for talking to him about it. He said, you know, I was in here and I had a lady that I've been treating, and it came up. And I said, hey, do you believe it? She said, sure I do. He said, you believe there's anything? What do you do about the sins that you commit today, tomorrow? Well, I have to repent of them. I got to confess them. You're just, here's what. She had just told him that she believed Jesus Christ died for all of her sins. But now, it ain't funny, but now she says, well, I've got to repent and confess those sins that I do today, tomorrow, etc. She never has trusted this gospel. She's never trusted it. So he says, I now know just what a problem you have when you're talking to people. They'll say this, they're not saved. They'll say that, but they don't really trust that Christ died for all of their sins. But, let's go to another spot. After we read verse 4. In whom, verse 4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them. It's the God of this world that blinds the minds. Which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. It's the God of this world that blinds the mind.
Right.
And that hides it. Yes, Jim?
He blinds your mind because he says, have God really done that for you?
Well,
has he really done that? Really taken care of? You know he has to take care of all your sins. And then we get, and people, because they don't trust what Christ has done for them, completely trust what he's done, they're looking back at themselves. They're taking their eyes off of God and what he did. And now I'm looking at myself and what I've got to do to coincide, cooperate, or do whatever I have to do to do my part to help Christ save. I can't just trust what he did. I've got to get involved in this, and I've got to help him. And that's my salvation. He doesn't need our help.
That's what they're talking about from the pulpit.
He doesn't need our help.
Right. Now, in light of verse 4, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and just see who God has got blinding the eyes. I see who Satan has, in whom the God, the little g of this world, hath blinded the minds. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13. It's pastors, preachers, teachers, anyone that's witnessing to someone that does not and has not trusted the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 13 of 2 Corinthians 11. For such, those people back over in verse 4, that blinded the minds, for such are false apostles. They're deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That's whose end, verse 4 of 2 Corinthians. 4:4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. He's got his ministers parading out here, preaching the wrong gospel. It's so close. But close isn't good enough. This is not a game of horseshoes. Your everlasting life depends upon it. Because you know what? You're going to spend eternity in one of two places. There is no in between. There's no annihilation.
No,
when this body is over, it's gone. That's bull. You're going to either go to hell or heaven. One of the two. It's up to you to make that choice. Yes, sir?
I just want to say that I was really fooled by the ministers of righteousness. Like a lot of preachers are, a lot of people will say, boy, now my pastor, I mean, he really lives it. And that shows that they just really missed out.
They missed it.
Entirely. And I was fooled by that. You know, I wish, in that fact, I really tried to aspire to live like they did and live a nice, perfectly clean life. But I just didn't, and they weren't good. They were just putting on the show.
That's
they weren't real
true.
They were still sinners just like I was. And that's what, and so it's going to be according to their works.
Wow.
And their works are you know,
your works is as filthy rags.
That's right.
I don't want to be according to my works.
I sure don't.
No, even though they look good, they aren't good.
That's who's doing this. Back to that individual in Montgomery, that female. Our doctor, there's a bunch of us in here, go to him. He did something, it shocked me when he told me. He went and got his Bible, because it was a one-on-one between him and her. He went and got his Bible, and he read something from the Scriptures. He told me what it was. I don't remember what it was right now. And she said, wow, that's profound. He said, you know, and I chuckled. He said, that's what I wanted to do, but it was so serious I couldn't. He said, she didn't even know whatever that was. I was simple. He said, You don't know that? She said, I've never heard it. She said, if you don't mind, can you tell me what church, denomination, system? She said, I'm Roman Catholic. And the priest tells us what to believe. We don't read it. What? Is that not? I mean, I was astonished. I thought at least today they could read it. Yeah.
But you know, as an assembly, when I was in the Assemblies of God, that my Greek teacher said this. He says, I don't know why God didn't preserve his word, but he did. You know, and guess what? He became the authority. So we should listen to him, what the Greek says. And isn't that what we hear constantly from the pulpits today?
Sure.
Because they don't believe the word of God and what it's saying. And so the authority goes back. In other words, it has to go back to the scriptures. And so, you know, I trust the scriptures. I don't trust what a man says.
Don't trust what I say. Look it up. Look it up to see if I'm telling you the truth. And that's what Acts 17:11 is about. Let's see what Acts 17:11 is about. In Acts 17, these people did not like Paul. In verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. That's where Paul went. These, the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. That's who didn't like him. They wanted him, his head chopped off and everything else. They wanted him dead. But he was in Berea. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. That's what you're supposed to do when you're sitting in this class or when you go to a church. You don't know what they're preaching, or even if you do, you're supposed to receive the word with readiness of mind, but go into the scriptures and see what it says to you. You don't try to take the Bible and make it conform to your belief system. That's the wrong thing. You take the Bible and make your belief system conform to the Bible. There's too many people trying, got their own ideas, making the Bible conform to them and their beliefs. That's wrong. You're going to have a problem with that. Go over to Romans chapter 3, I think. Let me get over there to it. No, Romans chapter 4. What?
I was going to say, this week I was just thinking about the New Testament, what that means. New Testament means a new agreement. In other words, we need to be in agreement with God, with God's Word. And that's what we have to do, is be in agreement with God's Word. Not in agreement with our church, not in agreement with what I believe, but I have to be in agreement with God's Word.
You've got to be in agreement with God's Word. All men are puffed up. Scripture says. Got your own opinion? Oh, I'm the one that's right all the time. I'm not changing my mind about nothing. I got my mind made up. Don't confuse me with facts. Right out of the Bible. It's written right there. But I don't believe that says that said. It don't say that. But to you,
it doesn't mean that.
It don't mean that. Yes, it does. Romans chapter 4. Verse 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Will not. Cannot. Can't. God can't lie, can he? If he said he's not going to impute sin into that person, it's just like, I'll just take David. God's not going to impute any sin to this man right here. Why? Because he trusted what Christ did for him. Impossible. Yes, Bob?
All of the sins were imputed to Christ, and it'd be double jeopardy if he tried to impede those sins back on earth.
Exactly right. It's called double jeopardy, as he said. Christ hung up on that cross for every human being in the world. It's up to you whether you trust the gospel of the grace of God. It's not up to me. I just happen to be the one that's up here today. Now, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Do you know what it says in Psalm 32:2? Go take a look. Psalm 32:2. This is transdispensational. I saw that smile, Richard. It covers all dispensations. Or it can be used in more than one dispensation. Dispensation is an administration. Certain things have got to be done in an administration. That's called a dispensation. So not amount of time, but it takes time to dispense certain things. Somebody read Psalm 32:2.
Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
Ain't that something? It was in Psalm. It's in the Old Testament. David wrote that, didn't he? So did Paul. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But before we do, y'all going over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Which one?
We read Romans 4:8, but not Romans 4:7.
Well, yeah. We just jumped to 8. We'll get back to it. That's a good one, though. I'm telling you. There's some Bible facts that believers, individuals that have trusted the gospel of the grace of God. You know what I didn't say, Christians. If you want to call yourself a Christian, that's your business. I don't have no problem with it. But I know what the Bible says. It says you're a saint once you've trusted the gospel of the grace of God. It says you're an ambassador for Christ. Nowhere does it tell you you're a Christian. But I don't care if you call yourself a Christian. That's the terminology the world understands. It's just like Christmas. We know that's not the day Christ was born. But the rest of the world doesn't know that. So we celebrate Christmas. They just happen to be about 3 months off.
I put my tree up in September.
Now, I'm getting to the point I don't even know where I'm going. Fact number one, save people, save individuals. You know, God's not dealing with any nation. He's not dealing with Israel. He's not dealing with just the Gentiles today. He's dealing with everybody, not as a collective nation. He's dealing with everybody individually. Individually. So, the fact number one, the word of truth must be what, Pat? Rightly divided. In order for it to make sense. Is that not true?
Yes.
What is the word of truth, Tim?
The gospel of your salvation.
Where do you find it, Bob?
Ephesians 1:13.
Absolutely.
First Corinthians 15:1-4.
Absolutely. Ain't that great where you can just call on somebody and they know exactly where it's at? Because they studied. It said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The simplicity of the gospel, everybody in this room should have been able to do exactly what he just did. Because it's that simple. It's simple enough for a sixth grade reading level. That's what the King James is written on. Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say, and I was really thinking about this week, speaking about that God would judge the secrets of man according to my gospel, and that the secrets that I have. I mean, I
you don't want judged.
You don't want to see my secret sins, but I mean, they're really ugly. But whenever I see them, like, for example, you know, like you made a statement about being a Christian. I'm so far away from being a Christian means Christ-like.
Right.
And that's why the gospel is so meaningful. It's good news to me that even while I'm still a horrible, wicked, ungodly sinner, even though maybe I look like a good guy to you, but inwardly, the Bible says the heart's deceitful and desperate and wicked, who can know it? I've got good news.
Christ died for
Jesus sin. Died for all those secret sins I don't want you knowing anything about.
That's wonderful.
And God never holds one against you, no matter what you have ever done or will do. It's your past. It's your present. It's the ones you're going to do 50 years from now if you're alive. They have been covered. They were nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. That just man, that sinless man of God, died for the ungodly sinner. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Everybody in here, including those beautiful little kids. Ever think about your babies? They were born in sin. Because the first Adam, through his act of disobedience, brought sin into the world. Sin passed upon all men. That's in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, if you want to see it. But one of the rules, there's a rule in here. It didn't write that in the book, but it's a rule for interpreting the King James Bible. It is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and you can mark it down. Now, I will tell you this. Richard went out and made copies out of his own expense, put binders on here. Pat, you don't have one, do you? It's Romans through Philemon. Only 8 by 10 sheets. It's meant for you to bring it here. You don't have to bring it. But are you going to go home and start writing in it? It's for your study. It's for writing. It's for color coding, underlining, whatever you want to do with it. But one of the better places you can do is right here. While you're in class of some kind. Write up, write it. Ain't that right, Rick? And he titled it, I think, My Gospel. Because my gospel is the gospel of the grace of God. It's the only saving gospel, the only way to salvation in the entire world. There's one way. There's not two ways to be saved. No one in this room that is saved got saved differently than Brother Jerry here, or Brother Dave, or Brother Bob, or George. Nobody got saved in a different way. They all got saved the exact same way. They trusted the gospel of the grace of God. And if you haven't trusted the gospel of the grace of God, you're going to hell. What keeps you alive is that one heartbeat every two. Once it stops, you're just one beat from being in hell. If you're sick, you got pain. A lot of people say, well, you know, I hurt all over. I got pain. I got misery. My wife's dead. My husband's dead. I don't want to live. I just got to get out of this evil world. And God calls it this prison evil world in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. He is going to deliver us, Jesus Christ is, out of this present evil world when the rapture takes place, only for the people that have trusted the gospel of the grace of God. Nobody else. You're going to be left down here to believe a lie, a strong delusion, which is a lie. And you will believe the Antichrist, and you will go to hell. If you've ever heard the gospel of the grace of God, and now, where you ever heard it before you stepped into this room, you have heard it today, and it's on you. It ain't on nobody else. But neglecting 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Will cause confusion. God is not the author of confusion.
Satan.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Satan is. Absolutely loves it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 33. What does it say, Jim?
For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints.
Amen. Now, here's the thing. Do you have peace in your life that the moment you breathe your last breath, that you're going to be with the Lord?
Yes.
Amen.
If you don't, I'm talking about peace where you can totally relax.
Yes. Bring on the rapture.
Bring it on. If you don't, you're lost. Just like that. You're lost. God is not the author of confusion. Never has been and never will be. But there's two purposes for rightly dividing the word of truth. We rightly divide the gospel of our salvation out from all the other gospels. Now, I'm not going to call them all out to you, but there's about 11. Gospel is good news to somebody. But the gospel of the grace of God, which is this, is the gospel to you in this dispensation. If you have believed something else, if you have tried to believe or did believe and put your confidence in Acts 2:38 of what Peter was preaching to the Jews, not to you, that's obvious in there in Acts 2:38. And verse 237, they said, well, what must we do then? They were pricked in their hearts. And he said, repent. Change your mind about who that man was. It went to the cross. That was the Messiah. That was the Christ. Repent. And be baptized. That's water. For the, I'm going to tell you what, I'm never going to trade something. Oh. Yeah, I heard it. I think Jim said that. Somebody did. That's good. No, that's good. Those people right there in Acts 2:38 who were repenting and being baptized were baptized for the remission of sin. But according to Romans chapter 5, verse 11, we now have the atonement, which means what? We have forgiveness of sins.
It can never come back.
Here we are. You were born here. You trusted Christ here. You look back to Calvary, the cross. You trusted what He did for you, not what you can do for Him. And you have forgiveness. Remission, when they get their forgiveness, it's going to be at the second coming of Christ. We already have ours. Praise the Lord for that. Yes, sir.
You know, you were mentioning the word confusion. And what confusion really is a fusion of Peter's gospel and Paul's gospel.
It's called a perversion.
It's a perversion and a confusion.
It is confusion.
And Satan is the author of that confusion.
And he loves it.
And yet, when I went to Bible college and seminary, that's what they tried to do on a continual basis, is fuse the two of those together and mix them up. And it was hard for me to believe those men that I had all this confidence and respect and trust in were actually ministers of Satan, creating confusion, fusing Peter, James, and John together with Paul. And the Bible says they're contrary one to another. Those two Gospels are completely different. And it's just really, really sad to see, I mean, the bulk of Christianity going down that path. And Satan rules the minds of the children of disobedience who are confused and don't know it. And that's why it's hidden from them. Satan has blinded their minds with religion, and they're confused.
Do you want to go to a church that offers you a fantastic professional choir? I'm a musician. I can play for you. Once in a while we do. Rarely anymore. But the fact is, you want something that's got an educational program for your children? You want to shuffle them off to another room so they'll learn how to color? It's really what they're getting. I went to Bible school when I was growing up. You know, I never did learn a thing. Anybody learn anything in Bible school? I never did. It was a fun place to go. It was a babysitter. And when I became a teenager, I went because of the women. I did.
You said Bible school, you went to Sunday school.
No.
What are you talking
Vacation
about?
Bible school.
Oh, that Bible school, okay. I was wondering what you're talking about. That's only a week every year.
Yeah, people like to go where they feel like they're getting something. And what they need to be getting is the gospel of their salvation. But they want to be involved in some activities. Because if you're not involved in activities of building blocks or air hockey or a basketball team or something like that, softball teams. I know my brother, didn't he used to coach a softball team for a church?
Yes.
That's before he learned the truth.
Methodist church.
It was a Methodist church. Well, kind of ironic, I was raised as a Baptist and wound up joining a Methodist church. But yeah, he coached, a softball team for the church. Yeah, he left the church. Yeah, he found the truth. Believe me, he found the truth. That was a good thing.
That's sad.
People do it every day. What do you think they go to Holly Baptist? That's one of them, okay? I'm not just picking on that one. They're most all of them that way. They have trips. All your people will pass the plate, and not for their normal service. They'll pass the plate to make up money for a trip. I run across right down here at that BP station right south of I-10 here. There was a Church of Christ come out of somewhere in Louisiana. And the guy was talking with me. And I said, where y'all headed? He said, we headed down to Fort Walton. Panama City. Panama City, yes, church bus. We're taking the teenagers down there. There's three or four. There was actually three buses there. Wasn't gigantic buses. It was, buses. I don't even describe the bus. But they had chaperones. It's a free trip to the beach. That's what going to church meant. They get something free out of the deal. They ought to be sitting there with their parents as an instruction. They learn discipline by sitting there. Plus, the big thing is they learn what the Word of God says. And you're supposed to do that with your children.
But the parents don't know.
But the parents don't have a clue. It's a shame, guys. It's a shame. Damn.
Because the preachers don't.
I like that. That's the truth. We rightly divide the word of truth because of two purposes. It's the gospel of the grace of God. It's the power of God unto salvation from all other gospels. And you may say, well, you know, Peter was a great apostle. Yes, he was. But he wasn't preaching to you. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Preaching the gospel of the circumcision. What did John the Baptist preach? The gospel of repentance. The gospel of Jesus Christ himself was of repentance and confession of sins. But that's not the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, same thing. Only to two different people, groups. So that's not for us today to get into that. But it's according to the mystery revealed to the Apostle Paul. That's one reason to rightly divide the word of truth. The Bible automatically just separates itself into two things.
Those were our
prophecy.
Instructions.
Those are our instructions.
To study.
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 How can you study if you don't know how to rightly divide? You're going to be confused. Matter of fact, I had a phone call earlier in the week. This lady calls me up and she says, I think I can lose my salvation. No, she doesn't.
You lose what you don't have.
And she says, do I have to go to church to be saved? No, you don't. Matter of fact, I advised her on something. She said, I can't find a church. I know Costa knows who this is. I won't mention her name. She's in my off class. And I said, because she goes to the Church of God, the Assemblies, the Baptists. They get tired of her. Because she ain't got no money. She ain't got no way. So they get tired of coming and picking her up. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, that's a fact. She needs to trust the gospel of the grace of God. And I told her, I said, look, she's got a King James Bible, and she's reading it. Now, I'm telling you, she calls me up and we talk about it. Is she understanding everything? No, she's not. But she's reading it. She's into it. And I said, look, you can't find a church. Won't nobody they get tired of coming around and picking you up and so forth. Just stay home and read your King James Bible. It's much, much better than going to one of these others that's using the wrong Bible in the first place, plus someone that don't want you there. Read your King James Bible, and you'll be more enlightened than sitting in a church that's not preaching the truth. I mean, I'll tell anybody that. Yes, sir?
I want to say about, you know, this one lady I'm working with a little bit now, and she started reading her King James Bible, and she started in Genesis. And it took her about 2 days, and she gave up and quit. Yeah. We need to start what's written directly to us.
Right.
And that's in Romans through Philemon. So many people, when they start, I'm going to start in the New Testament. I'm going to start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the confusion begins. We've got to start where Paul starts. That's the gospel that's written to us.
Why we're trying to know somebody to tell that?
30 years ago.
It causes confusion within a person, specifically if they've ever been to church and really got into some doctrine. You did that. You know, ain't gonna tell how much you memorized of this Bible, and it's just easier now, isn't it? But you know, I wrote the word mystery up here. When you rightly divide the word of truth, you're gonna find the gospel of your salvation. It's called the gospel of the grace of God. The Bible automatically separates itself then into mystery and prophecy. We're not in prophecy. So all them people that are riding around and watching that on TV, Hal Lindsey and all those guys, and anybody that tells you there's some prophecy taking place out here hadn't got a clue about what that Bible says that you're holding in front of you. None. N-O-N-E. And if you do believe that, you need to start praying about it if you're saved. Because there's some saved people that do believe they're in prophecy.
Or the dispensation of the grace of God.
And it's called the dispensation of the grace of God, yes. Unmerited favor. But that's up to them to see. That's up to them. You know, you can't force somebody into believing something. It's just like all these laws that America passes for us to get along with this minority group, that minority group, etc. You cannot legislate people's morals to make Dave or me or anybody else like somebody else. But that's what they've got.
Please say something. What Brother Darby said.
Sure.
I did go to Bible school, and I went. They did say it's all about Paul and the teach the importance of Paul. Now, as soon as you graduate and go out of ministry, you start going to all the Baptist churches. And you tell them that, and they get angry. And they call you, they say you're too Pauline. And then you go back to the church where I graduated from the Bible Institute, and they don't say that anymore. They say you have a Pauline obsession, if all you do is preach from Paul. So they preached right once, and now they don't. What is that called? Apostasy.
It is.
It was a real eye-opener, too. Why do you want to call yourself a Bible believer and a Baptist when the majority of Baptists are against Paul?
That's right.
You can't be both. You just, I mean, you could.
Now, Robert has experienced this firsthand. And they're not, they don't really welcome you with open arms back over there.
Oh, no. Thank God. There, but I'm saying that went there that learned what I did, and they also see the same thing. But then there are others that chose, I'd rather be a Baptist because there's money in it.
Yeah.
So you had to either choose, I'm going to preach the truth and be lamb blasted and blackballed, or I'm going to forget the truth and be successful. That's the word they use in the ministry, successful. I don't want to be successful. I want to please God, not man. Amen. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's what she
says. Well, thank you, because Robert was a Baptist minister. Richard was an Assembly of God minister, and it was also a Baptist minister. So they know what they're talking about when it comes to how they're treated in the Pauline doctrine. You know, one of the things, and he brought it up, and I'm glad he did, is the distinctiveness of the Pauline epistles and the Pauline doctrine. That's what we're supposed to follow. It is, bar none, the most important information for this dispensation in the Bible.
Yeah.
Without that, we don't have any hope. Yes, Tim?
I'm not complete in Peter's doctrine or his teaching. I'm not complete in James's teaching or any of the other apostles. I'm not complete in any of those teachings that they give us. I'm looking forward to something, but I'm not complete. I'm only complete in Paul's gospel that he teaches. I'm complete in Christ and the finished work of the cross. And I'm also sealed according to Ephesians 1:13. I'm sealed the teaching of Paul. I don't find sealing in any other teaching of anybody else. It's only in the Pauline teaching that we learn these things. We don't learn it anywhere. It's not there. So I'll stick with Paul.
How long were you a Baptist?
About 40 years.
40 years. We're not against, for whoever's in here, we're not against the people that go to the churches. We're against the doctrine. It's not sound doctrine. And Paul is explicit about the sound doctrine. And he told Timothy, preach no other doctrine. And you've had me as an example. You know what I've preached. Preach that to faithful men who can preach others. Yes, sir.
One thing most people don't understand about Paul was that God used him to reveal certain mysteries for us today. And in 1 Corinthians 4:1, it says, so let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And so most of the doctrine that's for us through Paul was something God, by revelation, gave to him that before was a mystery. And nobody seems to know that or preach that. And when you talk about it, they think, what, are you crazy? They think it's like Catholics, because Catholics talk about mystery. No, it's God's mystery revealed to Paul for us. One of them is being sealed. And I think it's interesting, sealed shows up 3 times, the word justification shows up 3 times in Paul's epistles. That's kind of interesting. But justified shows up 21 times, which is 7 plus 7. There's a lot of sevens with Paul. Mm-hmm. 7 mysteries. But anyway.
Good. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Let's look at what Robert just talked about.
It was also given to Paul in his last days to make all men see the mystery. And most men don't have any idea what the mystery even is.
Ask your preacher.
How are you going to make all men see if you don't know what it is?
We've stated it. Anybody in here that teaches, they're going to be a preacher.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Ephesians 3:9.
Of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Ain't that something?
It says that all men might see the fellowship of the mystery. Our fellowship as Christians should be in Paul and his mystery.
Right. Like, absolutely.
That's amazing.
In Galatians chapter 1. Before I get there, well, let's talk about this. Jesus Christ walked around on this earth for what? 3.5 years? Did he do some teaching? He pulled these guys that were fishermen, and Peter and Andrew and all. He had all these people that were unlearned people. They were fishermen. He schooled and taught them for 3.5 years. So now that he sent another apostle, one that's born out of due time, Paul says, he also give him some revelations. And that's what this is talking about. In other words, he taught him. Verse 11, Galatians chapter 1. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Of course, that eliminates any teaching from any other apostle. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave him the revelations. Paul saw him. He was the last one to see him as an apostle on the road to Damascus. That's where it was one born out of due time. Now, where did he get it? Got it from the revelation of Jesus Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 3. We'll start at verse 2. Paul writes this, he said, if you have heard of what? The dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. How that by revelation, we just read where he got it. He got it from the risen Savior. He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. But here's what it is. In verse 4, the last three letters. Mystery of Christ. What is it? Verse 6. This is the mystery of Christ. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That's what the mystery of Christ is. But there's a lot of stuff in verse 6, guys. Let's look at it real quick. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. Oh my goodness. Look at here. What does that tell you? That there was a body of Christ already there. That the Gentiles should be, we're talking about over here now, that's where we are, members of the same body. There's a problem when people don't believe that Paul preached to the Jew and the Greek, because that verse right there tells you the Gentiles are now being put in that same body. The body didn't, why would it say something different? It doesn't. Why would somebody preach something different? I don't know. But this body of Christ was here. And the Jew and the Greek were in it. And you weren't. So now the Gentiles are going to be saved in it. I've told y'all about it. I was witnessing this old boy in 1978 in northern Minnesota in my room. The preacher walked in and he jumped on my buddy and he says, you gotta be baptized for the remission of sins. And I said, amen. Yes, you gotta do that. Oh my God. I've since told a guy, I chased him down and found him. But it's the most important doctrine in the entire Bible. Paul went up to Jerusalem to tell somebody about the special grace of the gospel of grace that Christ gave him. When did he do that? Go to Galatians chapter 2 and let's look at verse 2. I might read 1 too, I don't know. Galatians chapter 2, verse, well, let's start in 1. Because y'all remember on the road to Damascus, he went out and preached straightway into the synagogues that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the gospel of God, no problem. Then, after 14 years, he went to Jerusalem. And he met the half-brother of Christ there, and he didn't trust Paul. Long story, we come on back. Now, after 14 years, Paul has been out on his missionary journey preaching something. Preaching the gospel of Christ, which has got salvation in it, which is this. To the Jew and the Greek. And we're going to be talking about probably next week or, I don't know, week after, whatever, about who these Greeks were. But anyway, that's another story. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation. We already saw that he got some revelations right over here in verse 11 and 12 of chapter 1. He went up and he communicated unto them that gospel, the gospel of Christ, which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. He went up to tell them. First time that Paul told Peter or Cephas, James, and John that there was a gospel out here that I'm preaching. And it's called the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek to get that remnant of Romans 11:5 or 11:7. I got to make sure. Romans 11 for myself. 11:5. He's picking up a remnant by the election of grace. That's what he's telling these people. And this is where the first time that Peter found out about it.
You know, what's really interesting to me is that he preached to them. Well, why do we preach? We preach the gospel. And it was something that they had never heard. Otherwise, why wouldn't he preach?
See, and that's a very good point Richard just brought up. He wasn't just sitting there discussing something. He didn't want no input coming back.
Right.
He was sent there by Jesus Christ to preach, to tell them, to convince them, you're going to do this, and I'm going to do this. That's the way it is. Very good point, Richard. He preached to them. He didn't just inform them. Very good point. Now, Paul, we know, well, the revelation of the mystery of, let's go to Romans 16. And this is where the rubber meets the road. You go out in these churches and you ask them what this is. Now, of course, Paul wrote this book. Verse 25. Now to him, God, that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. My gospel is this right here. That Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected for the forgiveness of sins according to the scriptures to justify you. To clear you of all your sins. Now, verse 25 of Romans 16. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the what? The revelation of the mystery. He's talking about the revelation, the things that the Lord shown him, which was kept secret since the world began. Nobody knew it. Didn't say it wasn't in the scriptures. It was just kept secret. That's what it was. It was kept secret. And one of the things is in Romans chapter 11, verse 13, and we ain't got to go there. All that is saying that Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, and he magnified his office. Peter is not your apostle. Never ever think he is. If you want to trust what Peter said for your salvation, just drop off in hell. That's it. Because we can't help you. The scripture can't help you if you don't believe and trust that. No one can help you.
There's no way I could ever have gotten saved by Peter's gospel.
Nobody can.
I could not live.
I trusted it.
It's a mystery.
But guess what? It was the wrong thing. I didn't get no peace and joy or hope or nothing out of it.
I tried.
Oh, so did I. I realized I couldn't do it and I gave up. It was wrong. I knew I was still going to hell. That's the bad problem when you realize you're going to hell and you've done everything the preacher told you to do. That's uncomfortable. I know Jerry did that. He was sick. He went back to his Baptist minister, and the minister said, well, just say the sinner's prayer again. Ain't that what he told you? Before his lung cancer surgery, wasn't it? Before the sinner's prayer. Yes, sir.
That's what they tell you to do, all these little things, and every one of them's a lie. Join the church. Be baptized. That sends people straight to hell. Tithe your money and all that junk. That's nothing but self-righteousness.
Yes, Trish.
Shouldn't we always, and I hate to say it this way, shouldn't we always be skeptical? I was never part of a church, so, you know, but I try to use a common sense approach. Shouldn't you always be skeptical of somebody who tells you to do something that the Bible doesn't even mention? Like, where's walking the aisle in the Bible? Where is the sinner's, where does it tell you in the Bible, anywhere in the Bible, to repeat the sinner's prayer?
Turn from your sin. That's the, you need to turn from your sin.
Quit your smoking, your drinking, and everything else.
You can be saved.
I'll use Diane as an example. You don't mind, do you? We preached the gospel to her in here. She already knew about this. She just never trusted it. Then she trusted it. She has the same, the next day, she's got the same salvation as anybody in this room, if you've had it for 30 years, 40 years, whatever. She's got the same one. That moment that she trusted it, she gets peace and joy out of knowing that she is not going to hell any longer. But here's what people don't realize. Now, is she going to sin again? Oh, yeah. We all are. And we do. And a lot of it's just because we like it and it feels good. But, 1 second, Richard. This is so good. The Lord was so good at this. I'm telling you. Her position is in Christ. And when God looks down upon her, he doesn't see her. He sees Jesus Christ because she is in Jesus Christ. Huh? The blood covered every sin. Took them all away. She is white as snow as far as sin goes. But now her everyday walking around condition, just like mine and yours, her condition ain't too good. I don't know what she's been doing, and I don't care. But she's like all of the rest of us. That's in the flesh. The flesh is going to go back to what? Dust. What is saved is her spirit. She's going to get a new body. Her position is here. She's sealed. She cannot lose her position. So why has she got to walk the aisle up here, get rebaptized? Oh, you backslid. No, you just fell out of the will of the Father for a while. Until the next time. Who had your hand up?
I just wanted to say that it never, ever gets old. I got saved when I'm 24, when I was 24. I'm now 68, and it's actually better now than it was back then. I mean, it just, honestly, salvation is just so wonderful.
Because you realize just what a sorry, low-down scumbag that we are, and you are, and the Lord loved you while you were still dead in your trespasses and your sins. He loved you and He died for you anyway. That's what it's all about. It's the love of Christ that constrained it. It's awesome. It's awesome. That's the only way to put it. You know, and a lot of people get the wrong idea about grace. Unmerited favor, something you don't deserve. The fact is, they think that, oh, I was an alcoholic, but I better quit. Because that's what they preach at AA. They preach the wrong stuff to people. And it's got a good point, but they're still sending people to hell. But whenever you tell people, all things are lawful, some people get the wrong idea about that. Well, I mean, I can go out and do anything I want. Yes, you can, but it's not expedient. You want to go out and shoot somebody? Well, guess what? That ain't good. You're liable to get the electric chair and die. But as far as God's concerned, you're spotless. It's just like that old boy that just shot those people up there, that nutcase up there in South Carolina. If he was saved before he pulled the trigger and killed those 9 people, he's still saved. He'll be in heaven with you. But now, was he?
No.
I don't know.
Now, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. We're talking about the gospel of the grace of God. We're to follow Paul as he followed who? Christ. Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. What? Somebody read it out loud. What about it, George? 1 Corinthians 11, 1.
Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ.
Well, now, hey, look. Are you going to do that? That's what the Bible just told you to do. And if you're going to do that, what must you do? Rightly divide the word of truth so you can find out what to follow. You're going to read Romans through Philemon to find out what to follow.
Just 3 times Paul tells us to follow him.
Yes. Once he mentions it once, anything in the Scripture is important anywhere from Genesis to the end of Revelation. But when he mentions it twice, it's really important. But when he mentions it the third time, and that's what Robert said, and he did, boy, you better follow Paul. That's your marching orders. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
But he's clear not to exalt himself. He exalts his office, but not himself.
He magnifies his office. Paul's name was changed from Saul to Paul, which means little and small. He don't want to be that guy out there anymore in Judaism. And look at me, I've excelled above and beyond all my peers. No, he wants to be the low person. Low person on the totem pole, because he knows that he was a blasphemer, and he thanked Jesus Christ for saving him into the body of Christ, who was a blasphemer according to 1 Timothy 1:16. But, so, in Paul's writings alone, nowhere else, we find the doctrine that we're supposed to follow, the position, the walk, and the destiny of salvation. Yes, sir.
Just real briefly, right there, we just read, "Be followers me, even as I also am of Christ." So, as he's following Christ, but there was that one time that he didn't. Remember when he disobeyed God? was telling someone about that the other day, and they didn't realize that he went to Jerusalem against when God told him not to. And God still used him, but imagine how much more he could use them if he didn't disobey. So follow Paul, except when he didn't follow Christ that one time.
We all get puffed up like that, even that apostle there.
Yeah.
You know, we do. I mean, we've got pride. We're arrogant sometimes. Yes?
We follow Paul's doctrine and the doctrine of Paul. And Paul said in his own personal life, whenever I desire to do good, evil is present with me. And he was the chiefest of sinners. He was a sinner just like we were. There's none righteous. No, not one. And the whole world becomes guilty before God. And that's what's so beautiful about the mystery of the gospel of the grace of God. It's a beautiful thing. We deserve to burn in hell forever because God is a holy God. But I'm accepted in the beloved. And that's still a mystery to me, isn't it? I mean, how can it be?
Oh, I know it.
I mean, it's just awesome.
Y'all go to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read Trisha's favorite scripture. Verse 8, Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's the faith of Christ that saves. We have faith in the faith of Christ, that he will be able to accomplish what he said he would. Now, and that not of yourselves, ain't nothing to do with you. It is the gift of God. You see that word gift? You don't work for a gift. You don't walk the aisle. You don't tithe. You don't do all of these things thinking it's going to help you get to heaven, because it won't. Matter of fact, you start adding something to the gospel and start trusting and believing that's got something to do with your salvation, you're going to go to hell. Now, verse 9, not of works. Who wants to work themselves to heaven? Who wants to help the Lord?
Most religions.
Very good answer. Nobody in here wants to. Why, y'all just sluffers or something?
Yeah. The boasters.
Ain't that something? You can't do anything to please God in the flesh. Never, ever forget it. No sense in attempting it. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Go over to Romans chapter 5 real quick.
So if you work for it, it ceases to be a gift.
It ceases to be a gift. Amen on that.
Can you comment on lest any man should boast?
Yes.
Boasting is what you do. Hey, look what I did. I did. Twice in the Bible is that called a sin. Romans 1:30 and 2 Timothy 3:2. It says boasters. Well, anything you do and you boast about, that's a sin. According to the Bible.
I believe it. So you're proud.
Yep.
So you can boast. You can't do anything. And if you could, you would brag about it.
Yep.
And that would pull away from the gospel. It would not be the gospel of your salvation. Now, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. I think I want to go to verse 6. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And everyone in here is ungodly. But he died for everybody. For scarcely, excuse me, verse 9, much more then, being now, verse 8, I'll get it right. Verse 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You've got to humble thyself. I'm going to tell you, I know if anybody in here is saved, and they are. They had to humble themselves to become saved. Say, I can't do it. I'm going to quit trying, me, and I'm going to start trusting what you did for me, Lord. You've got to humble yourself. Jesus Christ humbled himself as a servant. God Almighty in the flesh humbled himself. What makes you any better than him? Humble thyself to be saved. Really? You've got to. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. Lord, you've got to do it for me. I've tried every single way in the world. I just can't do it. Now you're getting somewhere. Humble yourself. Saying I can't do it. Now here's the whole key. All sin and all sins were placed upon Jesus Christ at the cross. And we know at 12 o'clock that day that when he was crucified, the world turned black, dark. Sin came into the world. God turned his back on his own son. The Holy Spirit left him. The only time that will ever happen and has ever happened. But at 3 o'clock, he gave up the ghost. It is finished. Now, what's your obligation? Do you want to be saved? You've trustified it. Everybody's agreed that Christ was crucified and that he was buried, then he was resurrected from the dead on the third day according to the scriptures. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. But do you believe he died for all your sins, your past sins? Today, if you're not saved in here, you believe he died for these sins that you're thinking about while I'm up here talking. But do you believe, you probably do, but do you believe he died for the ones you're going to do next week? Before you ever do them. That's what you got to have to. That's what all sin means. You're going to go home and you're going to ask for forgiveness tonight because you said something bad about somebody in here. Or like Richard in his road rage, somebody runs him off the road and he just takes a knife out and whips the guy's tires up. Or the guy. Well, the thing of it is he supposed to ask for forgiveness? No. He's already been forgiven. All you got to do is just trust what Jesus Christ did for you on Calvary. He justified you according to Romans chapter 5. One last scripture, Romans chapter 5, verse 1.
So you're saying God must have not done it right the first time if you have to answer.
Right. You know, he's got to die again. And that's what they do. Anybody that preaches that you've got to go and ask for forgiveness of sins, they're crucifying Jesus Christ all over again. It's a reproach upon God Almighty himself and what he did for you by sending his son into this world. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, verse 19, he said, to wit, that God, it's God now, it ain't Christ, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses, that's us, unto them. And nobody being imputed whatsoever. Now, what did I say?
Romans 5.
I said Romans 5.
5:1.
Yeah. Okay, let's do that. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. You see that word peace? With God. You have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Whew. Now, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace. That's a condition. Grace. Not a condition you've got to meet. That's a condition you're in. Into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. If you have never, ever trusted the gospel of the grace of God, now's the time to do it. Right this minute. You don't know if you're going to go home, get killed in a car accident, or what. You just don't. You do not know what the future holds. Now's the time, and today is the day of salvation. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thank you so much for coming out today. We just thank you so much for the opportunity to preach the Word of God to you, and join us next week.